Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to take you behind the scenes in Smash Mouth.
Cuts across, he scores!
This is the Preds official podcast with Thomas Willis and Brooks Bratton.
That powerful move from back of the net.
On Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
What is going on, Smashville? Predators official podcast, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app and your favorite podcast streaming service. It's good to talk to you once more for the 108th time. Brooks Bratton, NashvillePredators.com. We've sent Hal Gill back off into the sunset. Thomas Willis is back. Max, however, is gone, so the crew will be back eventually. Elijah Campbell stepping in. This is like old times. I was saying to Elijah, we're recording on Friday afternoon for the first time in what feels like months. We used to do that all the time. Elijah's here. He used to fill in for us back in the day. And yeah, on a scale of one to Jim Dandy, Thomas, I think we're reaching for Jim Dandy.
I'm just glad you sent Hal Gill into the sundown and not into the sun. That would have maybe been an indictment on his performance on last week's episode.
No, I thought he was good. Well, so let's get this out of the way really quick. One of our listener questions was, did Thomas listen to episode 107?
I saw it, and I want to give an official answer because it is neither yes nor no. I have listened to... I'm going to make sure I don't accidentally play it. I have listened to roughly 8 minutes and 14 seconds of the last episode.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, enjoyed very much what I heard.
Okay.
And intended good. To listen to more, but, you know, here we are.
That's good. I mean, you are technically higher up on the food chain than I am, so it's good. Like, I don't want to make you mad. I want to make you proud.
Yeah, thought you did great.
Okay.
Thought Hal sounded good. Yeah, again, I didn't really know much about it. I was like, oh, Hal's on the phone. How fun. And then, you know, so it was great.
Well, good. He did an admirable job, but glad you're back because we've got a lot to talk about. And I feel like we've done this. We've joked about this all off season long. There's always weeks where you're like, oh my gosh, we're not going to have anything to talk about. We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Which is good news. We're going to talk to new Predators assistant coach Todd Richards coming up. That's exciting. I don't believe any member of the Nashville media has spoken to him yet, as far as I'm aware. So your one-stop shop for exclusive interviews right here coming up next. Also, the Predators have broken ground on a new event center in Clarksville, Montgomery County, northwest of Nashville. We'll mention that in just a moment. Transactions involving Connor Ingram and Luke Evangelista, we'll get to that. Nashville's Russian prospects leading their team to a championship. Also, a couple of questions to get to later on in the show. So, a jam-packed episode 108. And perhaps the biggest news and the news that we all wait for. We did this in the spring, so we're used to this kind of routine, the waiting and the watching and the hoping. And we're getting closer, it seems, to figuring out, Thomas, what the NHL is going to choose to do for the 2021 season. January 1st is still the target, and this week we got some further information on that front.
I have good news. I've successfully opened the rundown for the show within the last 10 seconds, so I'm glad you ran down what's going to actually occur in this episode because I didn't know until then.
I was going to say, you need me to read any more of this.
It's completely lost in the inbox, but I found it via the very handy Google Drive app, so here I am.
Excellent. Shout out Google.
Yes, shout out Google Drive. You are excellent. Microsoft Teams, not so much. Anyway, yes, so we saw some more rumors swirl, and as we've said previously on the show, January 1st remains the date that the NHL is going for, that they want their season to resume. And you start to think back from that date and you think, wow, well, it's got to be at least a week or two for training camp, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, that would be mid-December. We're in mid-November, mm-hmm. right? We might be a month away from, you know, NHL teams being back in their cities, being back and playing and all of that. So that kind of came up at an earlier portion of the week. Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic, friend of show, tweeting about it, primarily saying, you know, like, there's going to be a Board of Governors meeting, we may get an update. Didn't get anything that formal, but I think the crunch and the timeline crunch remains, you know. So Bill Daly, deputy commissioner of the NHL, said January 1st is the goal. So he did reaffirm that previously this week. And so whether that shifts or not, I mean, the timeline is very tight. And we should know something next week, maybe two. I don't see how it's much longer than that because, as we said, in theory, we're 4 weeks from training camp.
Exactly. Time is getting short. If January 1st is still indeed the target, you're going to have to figure something out sooner than later. We did get something. An NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, was speaking at a conference, and he talked what we've kind of speculated or what some of the rumors that have been out there. He talked about the potential of short-term hubs, temporary realignment, a reduced schedule. We figured those were all going to be options for this upcoming season. I guess we can drop the 2020 off of the season. We can just call it kind of the 2021 season at this point if January 1st is the earliest that they would go. But the commissioner did say the league is exploring teams playing in their own arenas with or without fans, with or without you, depending on the local situation, in hubs or a hybrid system. And now any plan as it was last time over the summer with the return to play committee, the NHL and the Players Association would have to agree to anything. But the hybrid hub situation, the commissioner said, it would be a case of you'll play for 10 to 12 days. You go in, you play a bunch of games without traveling. You come back for home for a week, be with your family. You'll have the same testing protocols, kind of things that you had before. Not as locked down of a bubble as we saw in Edmonton and Toronto. They don't want players cooped up in the hotel. I don't think you'd have fences around the hotels in the arena anymore, that sort of thing.
Right.
Again, as you said, January 1st is still the target. And I think something else that was mentioned that I think a lot of people are hypothesizing, and you're going to have this in Canada with the border restriction. You're going to have some sort of temporary division realignment, an all-Canadian division, because we don't know what the travel is going to be like. Mm-hmm. The Predators are probably going to be playing teams maybe in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
The way that things are realigned, they want geographically, perhaps geographically centrally located divisions. If that's the case, the Preds are a heck of a lot closer to a lot of teams in the East than they are in the West.
Yeah.
And so you could see just throwing things out, a Columbus, a Detroit, a Carolina, a Tampa Bay, teams that are geographically closer. Yeah, you might still have Chicago, St. Louis, Dallas. Those are pretty close to Nashville, obviously. But a different-looking division. Again, could you start in Bridgestone Arena? Could every team start in their own building? I still think a lot more questions and answers at this point, but we are starting to get a larger picture of what it could look like.
Yeah.
And I think the reduced games too. The NHL had said they'd like to play 82. I don't think it's possible at this point. I think we're getting closer to 50 to 60 games, kind of in that realm.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see where that goes. But again, nothing to settle on yet, but we're certainly getting closer, and you're going to have to get closer soon.
Two more things from that. One of the things that stood out to me was Commissioner Gary Bettman saying he would never ask NHL players to be in a bubble for 82 games or for a full season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, use the word never. As much as things change, I mean, that means something. So we should not be picturing effectively the return to play that we just saw in Edmonton with Nashville. It does not seem like that will be the case, because that was a temporary solution to conclude the playoffs and the season and give out the Stanley Cup. So I don't think we're getting that. And then the second thing, I agree with you on that. Because we think we still have the Olympics coming and how that impacts the NBC schedule, and because, and this just makes logical sense, I mean, cross your fingers or whatever here, but we think that the 21-22 season will be back to what we've always seen, 82 games, fans, you know. And so to that end, you can't always have your calendar just completely thrown off by saying, you know, January the 1st, we're starting 82 games, and then therefore the 21-22 season doesn't start till November, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
You need to, you know, get the ship or the car back on course eventually. So I think that stands out to me as well. And I'll say one more time, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, the NBA matters. And the fact that the NBA is doing a 72-game schedule, the fact that they're probably starting in December, that they've already, like, agreed on a lot of their opportunities on getting back, I think that matters. And I think always being able to look at another example, we often compare the NBA and the NHL. Why? Because they play 82 games. They usually play in the same number of arenas. A lot of the teams are in the same areas. And the NBA is a little different. They only have one Canadian team. But, I mean, that matters too. You know, like, so that will matter with how they're going back and forth and how they structure things. So that combined with the fact that January 1st is looming, I think we get something pretty soon. And I think, agreed, it's different than what we saw the return to play, but I think it'll be a good situation, and I think it'll be one more step further back to what we've been accustomed to the last, 10, 20, 30 years or so of the NHL.
Sure. I think that's important to emphasize. As you said, the goal is to get back on that normalized schedule as soon as 21-22. You don't want to keep playing into the summer and that sort of thing. Hockey is a winter sport, and the NHL certainly wants to abide by that. So again, check back with us next week. because we may or may not, we don't know for sure, but we could have much more news on this particular topic, and we'll see what comes of that. Hopefully, things are back to normal by the time the facility in Clarksville is open.
Oh, absolutely.
fall of 2022 is when the Montgomery County Multipurpose Event Center is scheduled to open. The Preds, Montgomery County, broke ground on that facility in downtown Clarksville, Tennessee, on Thursday. You and I were there, as well as much of the Pred staff, lots of representatives from the local government up there, Austin Peay State University as well. They will be the primary tenant. Their basketball team will play out of the event center. But this is where the Predators come in. So this isn't another Ford Ice
I was
center.
Just going to say that. You think, like, oh, more ice in Nashville. Yeah. Yes, technically, and that's great, but this is a pretty unique situation.
Yeah, this isn't a Ford Ice Center. This is also not, I saw Hal Gill tweet about the Predators breaking ground on a new arena, and a couple people were like, what? Why would they move their current location now? It's great. This is not a new NHL arena either. Again, a multi-purpose event center that the Predators signed a contract to manage the facility. And they will be responsible for its overall day-to-day operations. Additionally, the Preds will be charged with booking the facility and finding all the appropriate sponsors and partners to bring the venue to life. So essentially what that means, not only will the Predators be running the youth hockey, adult hockey, those sorts of programming initiatives between hockey and figure skating like we see at Ford Ice Center in Antioch and in Bellevue, they'll also be responsible for essentially running the facility. And this is not, again, this is not just for hockey, it's for basketball, this is for concerts. It'll hold 5,000 for hockey games, 6,000 people for concerts. So really a fascinating venue, kind of the first of its kind. I mean, Bridgestone Arena, obviously, on a much larger scale. But this is something that has the capabilities to do much more than a Ford Ice Center can. Mm-hmm. And so really excited and curious to see how this project continues to come together. But some good things coming in Clarksville. It's cool to have this. We know that people want ice. There is a desire for ice.
Yeah.
I feel like in every county and every city in Tennessee.
And this will come. A lot more will come. For sure.
And this is one more that is going to get some. So great news in Clarksville.
Yeah, and we should see a lot of progress over the next 2 years, including a different name. Ultimately, you won't have to say Montgomery County Multipurpose Event Center forever. So we'll see whether that's a Ford Ice Center or a Bridgestone Arena, more in that kind of vein, we'll see. But
sure.
It'll become a more traditional venue for, like you said, concerts, sports, and ice. And that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So, 2 years to go.
We hope some of you, we know that not all of our listeners live in Davidson County in Nashville. So we hope that some of you are in Montgomery County in Clarksville. This is in your backyard. We hope you'll be able to take advantage of this and track the progress over the next couple of years and see what's to come here. So again, pretty excited about that. And we'll see what's on the horizon there in Clarksville.
Yeah, let's jump to our guest up in our next segment. This is one that we've wanted to speak to for a while. New assistant coach Todd Richards, coming over from the Tampa Bay Lightning, joined Nashville and John Hines' staff, I guess just a couple of months ago or so, to round out that coaching staff getting ready for this 2021 season. So let's talk to Richards next here on the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Predators Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5. The game is streaming right now on the Game Nashville app. For Brooks and Elijah, I'm Thomas, joined now on the phone in the car with new Predators assistant coach Todd Richards. Brooks said before we started recording, I guess it was Elijah that said this, coaches in cars. You know, we've got comedians in cars, so coaches in cars, maybe that's our new segment. Todd, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
First off, we haven't gotten to speak to you yet, especially not on this podcast. So I guess your initial thoughts on joining the Predators, why you made such a move and why, you know, you're excited about it, I'm assuming, at least at this point, to make the transition to the Music City.
Yeah, no, just really excited. Both my wife and I, coming off of the Stanley Cup win, I had a lot of time to reflect and think, and you know, it's funny, you spend 65 days in a bubble, you do have a lot of time to reflect and think, and I think it was one of those moments where I felt like a change was needed for me as a person and as a coach, and you know, the opportunity presented itself to come in and join Nashville. I was very, very fortunate there. It goes all the way back to my first coaching gig when I retired as a player. I was an assistant coach in Milwaukee with Peter Horchuk at first and then Claude Noel for 3 years, and got to coach a lot of great players that had come through there, Pekka Rinne being one of those. So it's nice to come back kind of where you started. I know a lot of people in the organization, whether it was, you know, 20 some odd years ago or, you know, recently, you know, I met John Hines and worked with him in a world championship back in, I think it was 2016, I think, over in St. Petersburg, Russia. So, just really excited, just for the change personally and professionally.
Since you touched on it, I mean, a lot of times when a team wins a championship, it's let's keep everything the same, let's bring everyone back, you know, let's keep this going. So, I mean, just to make that change in your career, I mean, what gave you the confidence to do that?
Well, it was just, I think for me as a coach, wanting to continue to grow and to learn, and not that I couldn't have learned and grew some more with the Tampa Bay Lightning, but I think it was an opportunity to spread my wings a little bit more. I think the more people you work with, the more people you're around, the more players you work with, I think it gives you more opportunities to grow and to learn. And it's different challenges, too. It offers different challenges. You know, this is other than Columbus, I think that was the longest stint that I've ever had as a coach in one place. So it's also, I think, just me needing that turnover and hearing different voices, different routines, and all those things to keep me excited coming to the rink and energized.
So, Coach, you mentioned having been on the bench with John Hines at a world championship. I'm going to assume that you're at least familiar with David Poile, maybe especially during your time with Milwaukee. But what have your conversations with John, with David, and maybe with the rest of the Predators coaching staff been like? And what excites you about what you've heard from them?
Well, really excited. Number one, you know, the people that I know, all good people. Obviously, David goes way back. Got a lot of respect for him, and we've kept in touch over the years too. You know, through whether it was the Olympics or it was you know, World Championships, you know, through USA Hockey, or even just, you know, crossing paths when you're playing in the league. You know, you always have time to sit down and say hello and ask how everything's doing or going with family or with your team personally. So I've always kept those conversations, and he's been great. You know what, John, it was something new. And again, I think those new things excite me. And I remember coming out of that world championship, you know, thinking that John Hines is going to be a really good coach for a long time. A lot of respect for him just in his organization and how he communicates. The other thing that he has is, you know, he's got a great personality, a great sense of humor. So he's very serious, and that's where you want to be, and professional. But there's also those moments where, you know, he's more personable and, you know, funny, and he makes the job and coming to the rink enjoyable.
I think every time I ask a question like this, I at least personally learned something new. And you mentioned earlier your stint in Columbus as a head coach. You also did the same with the Wild in Minnesota, and then more recently an assistant coach. So how do those two different roles compare? What have you found to be the best dynamic between assistant coaches and what they manage, and head coach, and how that whole staff works together to empower an NHL team?
Well, I was kind of prepared for this question, because was it you that on your podcast, I think you said you wanted to ask me that question, I think.
Yes, we sure did.
Going back a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks.
Have you been listening?
Hold on. Let me get my sheet out and let me read this. No. You know what? It's I'll tell you, the head coach has a lot of, you know, he's a juggler, and he's got a lot of balls up in the air. It's no different than the general manager. It's all the things that you have to deal with and all the things you have to think about. There is a lot, and your job never ends. Whether it's, you know, all-star break or summer break, you know, you do get some downtime here or there where you can kind of shut the mind off, but it's not for very long. And the one thing as an assistant coach, you do get more of a break there. But relationships are a little bit different. you know, I'm still a guy that likes to have the professionalism and those types of things, but you can be a little bit different with the players at different times. Because I think it is a different relationship being an assistant coach than being a head coach. So it's the head coach is you got a lot of hats that you have to wear at different times. And as a coach, you probably have a couple different hats that you're wearing at different times. But the head guy has a ton of responsibility and a lot going on where the mind never stops. And as an assistant coach, you still have your responsibilities. You still have your jobs that you have to do. You still have to help and help players grow. But I, you know, the other thing that you want as a coach is you want to help the other coaches to grow as too. And I want to come in there and I want to, you know, hopefully create some new thoughts, some new dialogue, some new way to do things. And, you know, I'm looking for the same thing in my direction. So it's that ability to come in and just stimulate. And I think John's like that, you know, very open and to ideas and suggestions and those types of things. So it was a good step for me to come here and how he conducts himself.
We mentioned it at the top. You were an assistant with Tampa, and you won a Stanley Cup just a couple of months ago, I guess, in the bubble. What was that experience like for you, and what goes through your mind when you lift the cup over your head? And then how do you want to use that experience now that you have that behind the bench? How does that maybe change the way you see things?
Well, it was all a bit surreal. You know, I think as a kid and well, not even a kid, you know, even as an adult and, you know, I'm 54 now, you know, when you sit at, you know, when I was last year, you know, when I was 53 or 52, you know, you're watching the Stanley Cup on TV. And I think still as a 50-year-old, you're still dreaming about that. And it's no different than when you're a 10-year-old kid playing, you know, pond hockey or street hockey. You always imagine yourself, you know, scoring that goal and being on the winning side. And obviously when you retire from hockey, your dreams become a little bit different. You aren't going to be the guy scoring the goal, but hopefully you are part of something that can celebrate that. And it was great, very unique, very different. I know that, you know, the fans can energize, but I was very impressed with how the players, you know, from every team that performed there, at least in the bubble in the East that I saw every team play there, just how competitive it was, because I was really unsure how that was going to be. And even when we made the move to Edmonton, obviously you're down to four teams there, the competition in the conference finals and then obviously the Stanley Cup finals was incredible. But I found just their professionalism and how they went about with no fans to really try to create some energy and some intensity. And they were able to do that through the games. And I think our first game when we played the Washington Capitals and just kind of our round robin, that first game, because I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't. And I don't know how many fights there were in the first period, but I was like, oh, our guys are, and their guys too. Mm-hmm. Our guys are into this. So it became a you know, a kind of a, I don't want to say an aha moment, but it got me excited because I wasn't sure if guys were just going to go through the motions. But I really felt that the playoffs, it would have been nice to have the fans with that energy, but I still think the guys did a great job, and it was a great brand of hockey to watch.
Our guest on the Preds Official Podcast is Predators assistant coach Todd Richards. Let me take you back to Milwaukee when you started your professional career in the early 2000s. Just that experience of winning the Calder Cup in 2004. You already mentioned Pekka. I'm curious, even then, did you maybe know that, you know, he would go on to have the successful career in the NHL that he's had? Could you even tell, you know, some other Milwaukee Admiral or AHL type players you could even see at that stage, like, you know, these guys are going to be special?
Yeah, I think you do. And I was still a young coach at that time, and I think you see talent in players. And there was so much that I still needed to learn about coaching and recognizing, you know, talent and really identifying and seeing, you know, where would they be in, you know, projecting them to be in, you know, 7 to 10 years. You know, I worked with, like, the defensemen that I had down there were incredible. We had great forwards too, but the defensemen that came through were truly incredible. And Dan Hamhuis was one of the first guys. But, you know, Pekka, I try to stay away from goaltenders. I don't know anything about the position at all. You know, I just kind of just say stop the puck. And he was a guy, you know, the great ones that have long careers and are great in their crafts, it doesn't matter what it is, they have something else. They have a little bit more than everybody else. And I think Pekka has that. that competitiveness, that work ethic, you know. And then he's as nice as a human as there can be. You know, everybody sees the great hockey player, but you know, if you ever had a chance to sit down to Pekka and talk to Pekka, you'd realize that he's a better human than he is a hockey player. At least that's how I remember him back when he was, you know, in the AHL trying to make it to the NHL. But you know what? You can say that about just about every hockey player that has come through, or players that I've coached with. There's only been a couple that you're like, ooh, this, I don't know if this is a guy I want to coach with again. That's the great thing about being around hockey is the people, and there are people like that everywhere, but Pekka's one of those guys.
Of course, Pekka is still here in Nashville on the roster. There are a lot of guys who are no longer on the roster, though. A lot of turnover this summer. When you look at this roster now that David Poile has constructed, and they've talked about wanting to get back to a grittier team, a team that's harder to play against, an in-your-face team, what do you think when you look at this roster here, and how do you see things shaking out top to bottom?
Well, there's still, you know, I'm familiar with really all the guys on the team, but I think as coaches, sometimes you still have to get in to get to really know the players, you know, what they're going to do, how they're going to react in every situation. I'm excited about the group. You know, I'm excited about that brand of hockey and that style of hockey. I think you have to have that on your team, that depth and that, you know, so much is talked about with the, you know, your top six forwards and being scorers, but, you know, so much, a lot of times those top six guys can really be driven by the guys that are, you know, the bottom six guys, the third and fourth lines, the energy that they can provide and create and still continue to push those guys, because if they aren't going. So I'm excited for that. Obviously, know probably a little bit more about the defenseman. Just, you know, having spent time with the D, you tend to watch the defenseman more. And really, when I get behind a bench, I don't really pay a lot of attention to the other team, right? Because you're so concerned about your players and your team. But I do know coming into Nashville, it was always a tough game. It's always tough to come in there and play with the crowd. They got great fans, and I'll tell you what, David, when I was here, I don't know how many years ago, back in 2002, I think it was my first year coaching. Coming in, I remember what it was like, and it's nothing like what it is right now. David and everyone that's worked with David have done a tremendous job growing the sport in Nashville, and it is what it is today. I mean, it's you watch it in the finals. What was that, 2017, I think, mm-hmm. The finals. Tremendous, the energy, the fans, and it goes all the way back to you know, all the guys that have worked to build this organization up to where it is right now, where it is in the community of Nashville. So it's an exciting place to come watch a game. It's an exciting place to play a game. And now we got some players. So with John Hines and kind of, you know, creating his brand on this team and putting his fingerprint on it will be exciting. And just to be a part of it and try to help out in any way that I can, again, we're all excited.
Todd, I recognize I'm asking this question a little bit prematurely, but I do see some similarities between the Lightning and the Predators in that, as you just mentioned, Nashville went to the Cup Final in 2017, followed it up with a President's Trophy year, has had a lot of success, hasn't quite, you know, been able to get over the hump. And I think Tampa was like that very soon. You know, a lot of Eastern Conference Final appearances, a lot of almost. So I'm just curious what you think, how the coaching staff and how a team, like how do you maybe finally get over that hump when you feel like you have the pieces that are worthy enough to be able to win a championship? How do you guide them in that direction?
Well, I mean, we'll see exactly where that goes. It's going to start from the first day of training camp. You know, that's where it's really going to start. It's going to be, you know, driven by the coaches. That's what we have to do. From everything I've heard, as far as the captains and the assistant captains, there's leadership on this team, and that's when the leadership has to contribute and step in and try to get this team to another level. And another level is getting it there. But it's going to be all the players, you know, getting into their roles, understanding their roles, and then really driving the team and pushing each other. That inner competition on a team becomes palpable when it works. You know, you can feel it when you're playing as a team and you aren't playing as a group of individuals. So it's going to be, you know, all of us coaches, you know, from day one, number one, coaches working as a team, getting the players to buy in as a team, and then obviously the players individually buying into that team concept.
Coach, let's end on this. And as you mentioned, training camp, we don't exactly know a start date. Nothing is set in stone as far as a hockey schedule is concerned. But what do things look like right now for you? I know we talked to you at the top, said you're in the car right now. You're on your way to Nashville. What have the last couple of weeks been like? And what do you need to get done before training camp begins potentially next month?
Well, I've been all over the map here, and I've put a lot of miles on the cars, being in Tampa, up to Massachusetts, and to Nashville, back to Tampa, now Tampa back to Nashville. So it's hopefully finally getting out of a car and settling down a little bit. That's first and foremost. But you know what? It's going to be sitting down as a group of coaches. We've already set it up. We're going to meet maybe a couple times this week. You know, prior to, you know, Thanksgiving and the holidays, and you know, follow John's lead and what he's looking for. I know he's already got things mapped out, what he wants to cover his coaches. And, you know, it's coming up with a game plan. It's coming up with systematic play. And we've already had some discussions more with personnel and those types of things. But it's number one, us coaches getting on the same page and sitting down and having good dialogue and good discussions. And then, it's coming up with a good game plan and then trying to implement that and getting the players to buy into what we're selling. And, again, once we get that from the players, you know, we'll have success. We will.
Well, Coach, we hope that we've made this time in the car a little bit more enjoyable, but thanks for giving us a call. We appreciate the time. Looking forward to meeting you here in person, but all the best, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Up next, we've got loans, signings, championships, and babies to discuss. This is the Predators official podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The song of the year, sung by the female vocalist of the year, according to the Country Music Association, Maren Morris. Congrats to her. Congrats to all the winners of the CMAs. Lots of fans of the Nashville Predators at the show. Good to see all of them, and good to see an awards show in a time where we haven't had much of that. So a really cool celebration of music. A lot of the Preds made their CMA predictions. Matt Duchesne, big country music guy, did pretty well. He predicted Eric Church as the Entertainer of the Year. That did come true. And a lot of guys picked Maren as Female Vocalist of the Year. So they know their stuff. Matt Benning being one of them. We'll talk to him next week on the program. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, wow. Big spoiler alert. Yeah, I noticed a lot of bias in those picks from the Preds players toward the CMAs. But, hey, you know, if you get some of them right, then sometimes that's all that matters.
Bragging rights. That's what it's all about.
Sure.
Good to hear from them, and we've got some news and notes to kind of go over.
Yes.
Things are still happening.
Now begins a segment in which Brooks pronounces words that I have no idea how to say, so I can't wait to hear you.
Well,
can't wait to hear you say some of these things.
Which, by the way, great chat with Todd Richards.
Yes,
good to know that he's
fantastic.
Listening, preparing for the questions ahead of time.
I was shocked. I was like, we did say that?
I love that. I remember thinking that because it's always fascinating to me. Again, I've said it before, but a head coach goes to an assistant, you know, back to a head coach sometimes. So always curious to hear how coaches view that role, that relationship.
Yeah.
But great to chat with him. I thought he was very insightful. He's got about as much experience as anyone behind the bench.
In the moment, I felt like Mindy Kaling, who plays Kelly Kapoor on The Office. One of my favorite lines from her when she says, same the type of thing. She's like, I did say that? She said, I learned to tune myself out a long time ago. I have no idea what we say and what we don't say. So here we are. All right, but the news and updates. Connor Ingram, first and foremost.
Yeah, Connor Ingram loaned to Bjorklöven. Let's try that. I think that's at least close. Sweden's second highest professional league until the start of Nashville's training camp, of course.
Are you going to say that one too? Or
Hockey Allsvenskan?
I mean, Svenska.
That's not Svenska, sure.
We have some Swedish listeners, so tweet us. Let us know.
Tell me how bad my Swedish is. No, so, well, and that was a question, I think it was Boyd, loyal listener, who asked a couple weeks ago, what do the loans look like? Can we expect anyone else? So there's another example. Mm-hmm. The Predators want Connor Ingram getting some games before the start of training camp. So
because again, the expectation is he's the full-time starter for the Milwaukee Admirals.
Yes.
And then on third string in the depth chart, on the Nashville perspective, maybe he comes up for a game or here and there.
Sure.
So they definitely want him at the top of his game.
Exactly. So he was ridiculously good for the Admirals last season. Thomas, as you said, Troy Grosnick will not be back, so expecting Connor Ingram to be the starter down there in Milwaukee, so he heads over to Sweden to get some work. And then the Predators sign forward Luke Evangelista to a three-year entry-level deal. He's 18. He was drafted by the Preds in the second round of this year's draft. So, of course, Yaroslav Askarov was the big pick in the first round. But the Preds are very high on Evangelista as well. I talked to Assistant General Manager Jeff Kelty about that, and he said he's a guy that we've had our eye on, but especially he made such a huge jump with the London Knights of the OHL. His rookie season, really nothing to show for it. All of a sudden, he comes back last season, 2019-20, 61 points in 62 games. It's pretty darn good. So the Predators are hopeful for his future. You hope that a second-round pick will make it to the NHL at some point. And, again, pretty high on Luke Evangelista there and his future. So they definitely wanted to get him locked up.
And it depends on how you score it, whether he's Luke 1 or Luke 2 on what will always be known as the Luke draft, because I believe Luke Cunnan was traded for just beforehand.
Correct.
So I think he's probably Luke 2, but as far as drafting, he is Luke 1, as we later know, four Lukes.
Yeah.
I guess in a span of 48 hours or so.
Yes, Luke Prokop then came in. Yeah, the Lukes were running wild.
Yeah, so Luke 2, for those who are scoring at home.
He'll fit in just fine. And then I mentioned Askarov. You probably heard about this on social media. You've seen clips of him. He's already been playing in the KHL. He played for Russia in the Karjala Cup last weekend. And
Hard J there. So that's the other name. That's the other word I wanted to hear you pronounce.
Well, I don't
Karjala, Karhala.
I don't know. Maybe it's Karhala.
I don't know. But here we go.
Who knows? We'll get one of our European scouts on the line.
We are learning a lot.
I wonder if Yanni Kekalainen listens, because he was at this. So
okay.
Maybe he can
correct
me.
Yanni, please let us know. J or H sound.
Yanni, help us. We know Yanni's J is silent.
Prime example.
So,
and it is Jokerit.
Karjala, Karhala. Yeah. I know. Maybe it's Karjala.
Oh, well, now that I've completely thrown you off.
Who knows?
Askarov was absolutely incredible
in
said tournament.
Ridiculous. Again, we know he's 18 years old, Predators' 11th overall pick. He won all three of his games, posting a .98 goals against average, a .962 save percentage, and he shut out the Czech Republic in the championship game. Also asked Preds' assistant GM,
Jeff Kelty.
Yeah, the
note on
this
was very interesting about how that team setup worked.
Yeah, so long story short, Askarov was playing against essentially professional hockey players from Sweden, Finland, and the Czech Republic in this tournament. Russia elected to send essentially their U-20 team to get ready for the World Junior Championships, which is scheduled to start on Christmas Day. And usually there is another tournament for that. That tournament has been canceled. So the Finns, the Swedes, and the Czechs said, well, no, this is the pro tournament. We're going to send the pro guys. Russia sent their teenagers, and the teenagers beat the professional hockey players.
Not bad.
So pretty impressive showing there. Askarov wasn't the only one either. Igor Afanasyev, who we've talked about on the show before, he had two goals and two assists. And then defenseman Semyon Chistyakov, who was selected in the fourth round by the Predators in 2019. Afanasyev was in the second round in 2019. He was essentially, Kelty told me, playing on Russia's top defensive pairing. Hmm. So all three Preds prospects, really, they weren't just on the roster. They really helped lead Russia to that championship there. So we'll take any news, I think, of on-ice hockey we can get right now, and that's certainly encouraging to see that not only from Askarov, but Afanasyev and Chistyakov as well.
And then I think a small note here on why did the Preds sign their second-round pick before their first-round pick. Remember, one more time, we're almost certain Askarov in the KHL in Russia for 2 years. I mean, so there's not a huge rush, per se.
Yes.
You're able to wait and let him develop. Even as fantastic as he's been, we have some time before he enters into the Preds pipeline.
Yeah, and with Evangelista, too, with the entry-level deal, he will, in all likelihood, go back to the OHL and play with London. That's just to essentially say, yes, we want to lock you up. We want you part of our organization. So when you're ready, that entry-level deal will kick in. So David Poile and company still hard at work on so many fronts there. And then we said babies, and we've got
The
run has begun. Matt Duchene, congratulations to him, his wife Ashley, their son Beau. They welcomed a baby girl into the world on Monday morning. James with a Y, J-A-Y-M-E-S, Olivia Duchene, was born 8 pounds, 4 ounces. Mom and baby are both happy and healthy. And we've seen Matt share some more pictures. Beau has now gotten to meet his little sister. So an awesome moment there. And especially, I think, for these guys, you know, it's tough, just the world that we live in. But for guys who are becoming new fathers or fathers for the second time in Duchesne's case, certainly a silver lining in all of this is the time that they've gotten to spend at home with their family. So congrats to the Duchesnes, and there are still so many more to come.
I was about to say, confirmed baby watch ongoing for Captain Roman Josi, forwards Victor Arvidsson and Callie Yarncroke, defenseman Matthias Ekholm, and goaltender Pekkarinne. Looks like Pekkarinne very soon, so we'll see. If 2020 could perhaps be turned around by a baby Pex, you know, that would work for me.
The Preds are about to field. I mean, they probably could, honestly, already, but they're, I shouldn't say field. The Preds are able to, will be able to soon ice an entire baby hockey team.
Right, for many of them, it is a second child on the way. So, yes. The depth chart's getting quite deep.
Yes, the Ekholms, the Yarncrocks will be welcoming child number two.
And Duchesne, obviously, baby number two. Yep. So, yeah.
Josi Ekholm and Rinne number one.
All right.
Exciting times.
Yeah. Enough about babies, but, you know, I guess I will say prematurely a little bit, but my daughter's birthday coming up, her second birthday in just a couple weeks here in this month. So, you know, I will shout her out since we're on the baby theme. So very excited to celebrate with her soon.
Unreal hair on that kid.
More than me already. Kind of crazy. The POP returns as we answer your Twitter questions from the week. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Into the home stretch here on the Predators official podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For more about the show, to give us a rating, which we greatly appreciate, to subscribe, which we like even more, NashvillePredators.com/podcast. You can also listen to all previous 100 plus episodes. If you want to be like Todd Richards, then that's what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to skim back a few weeks and start listening. That's the way to go about it. Two things to draw your attention to. Brooks, I'll let you take Hockey Fights Cancer. I will quickly mention that just this weekend, an equipment sale has launched on NashvilleLockerRoom.com. Mm-hmm. And not just anybody's equipment, Nashville Predators player equipment, of course.
Not your old equipment.
Not my old equipment. So sticks, skates, there's a jersey or two. There's a lot of different hockey sticks for sure. Nameplates of former players. I know that was a fan favorite.
Those are cool. I have a bunch of those at my desk, like just the nameplates that are in the locker room.
Oh, and there's some fun ones too, because you don't think about this, but technically there is a coach's locker room. A lot of times it's a different room because they have to wear gear, you know, for skates as well. So they also have nameplates. If you want a Peter Laviolette nameplate, several available. Even former assistant equipment manager Jeff Camilio available to be purchased as a nameplate. And if you're wondering, this is a total aside, but the look and the theme is going to remain for this next season in those nameplates. So that's why you can't find a Pekkarinne, for example. But former players, guys that have changed their numbers, Philip Tomasino, Yakov Trinan, for example, those are ready and available. Only $10. $7 if you're a season ticket holder.
Cool. Look at that. Yeah, so, those are really cool.
NashvilleLockerRoom.com. That sale is ongoing right now. I think you can find some pretty cool things. Oh, I should mention goalie pads, for example. Pekkarinne's blue glove from like last year. I mean, that's pretty sick. Yep.
My Gabby Bork nameplate is proudly displayed at my desk at Bridgestone Arena.
There you go.
That I haven't seen in forever.
Yeah,
Hockey Fights Cancer. I know we talked about it last week, but it's Hockey Fights Cancer month, and there are still plenty of ways for you to get involved. You can make a donation to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund, purchase a Lavender I Fight For foam puck for $10. You can do that at NashvillePredators.com/365fund. You can find more information there. You can also bid on items by texting PREDS, P-R-E-D-S, to 76278. New items added every week, but a Zoom call with Pete Weber and Hal Gill. Why would you not want that?
Google search Hoot and Holler, and you will likely find this potential Zoom call. Yes, yes. Well, and I'll give you one more just through the end of the month, November, that is, exclusive Hockey Fights Cancer Preds merchandise on that same webpage. That shop just got announced, so T-shirts and hoodies and some hats, some really cool gear as well.
Yes, really cool gear. So Preds.com.
And, of course, going to a great place, going to benefit the Pediatric Cancer Fund.
For sure. So NashvillePredators.com/365fund, certainly. Make a donation, get some gear, and show your support for Hockey Fights Cancer. A couple of fan questions to get to. We already answered the first one. Did Thomas listen to episode 107? You're 8 minutes in.
I mean, the short answer, yes.
Maybe he'll take a long trip and he'll bang out the rest of it.
Now I got to listen to this one again, you know. So,
awful.
Let me tell you, the podcasts are more stacked up, built up in the old phone than they ever have been. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some shows, it's just so daunting. I'm like, I can't even start. There's 10 backed up.
You're not sitting in an hour of traffic every day. Yeah,
precisely. Now, of course, that's unacceptable with a Preds official podcast. You listen to all of them, sometimes twice, but your other podcasts, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Brandon says, is a second-line winger considered a priority, or should we see what we have and potentially address at the deadline if needed? Also, favorite cooking method for the turkey?
Whew, okay, well, I'll take the easy one first. I think we've addressed
which
this
would
before.
That be for
I know,
you?
I don't even know. So I think I've said in the past, I would categorize it as more likely than unlikely that the Predators stay the way that they are. They do not sign another player. They do not make another big addition on the second line. Now, that may be 51% to 50%, but I think if you're sitting here thinking, like, are they getting Mike Hoffman or are they getting somebody else? Again, I think that's a little bit more unlikely than likely. So I think the Predators likely see what they have. And think about this as well. Very much looks like we're headed toward a fewer than 82 game season, right? Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you get hot or you have a good start, that trade deadline comes up very quickly. And David Poile, the GM, has said this himself. All of a sudden, you want to be sitting there with $6-8 million in cap space. And you're like, yeah, sure, I'll take Taylor Hall from the Buffalo Sabres for a low draft pick because they're not going to be in playoff contention. No, sorry, that's a hot take. That was a funny example. But, you know, like, hey, we'll see. I think that they keep the cap flexibility, but who knows? If you are able to add a veteran or an established player on a low term and a low price deal, which I think is very possible in this market,
sure,
I think that's an option as well. But I think I lean towards they start the way that they are.
I think they'd prefer to give some of those younger guys, like we've talked about, the first crack, at least, and see what happens there. Favorite cooking method on the turkey?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a deep-fried turkey. I've heard it's very
good.
I mean,
it's
you
good.
Deep-fry a rubber
life,
hose, it
life
would taste
threatening,
good.
But yeah.
Sure. I'm
so
just
smoked,
a,
then, probably.
Yeah, I'm just usually a straight-up, like, roasted-out-of-the-oven kind of guy. You don't really like turkey, though.
I was just going to say, and here we are. we've come to this part of the season. I would prefer ham. Yeah. I know. And then you say ham's only for Christmas, and that's fine.
And
I say
Easter.
Have it for both. So, yeah, traditionally at the Willis side of things, now this is funny. My mother's maiden name is Wilson. So there you go. Now you can unlock my password somewhere. But so on the Wilson side, they oftentimes have turkey and ham. So, you know, you're able to choose.
Uh-huh. So, very helpful for you. And pretzel salad.
Yeah.
The only salad you eat.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
We'll talk more about food next week.
Yeah, next week's episode.
Get closer
really
to Thanksgiving. Ryan said, have you guys played much NHL 21 yet? If so, have you put yourself on the Preds roster, and what rating did you give yourself? I am not, Ryan, I don't even own a video game system. I used to play all the time when I was a kid. I played NHL all the time, and I got to college, didn't take one with me, and just have not ever picked it back up.
And I'm almost the exact opposite. Did not have it, so got a console in college, and now I still have one. Have not played NHL 21 at all. I still only have NHL 20, and I was given that copy, so it's kind of hard to make yourself buy 21 once you have received NHL 20 for free. Yes, I have done Be a Pro mode before, but not very good. I would not give myself that high of a rating.
There is someone, however, in your family that has created themselves in a video game, which I just saw recently.
Oh, it's hysterical. Yes, my brother-in-law, John, is playing NBA 2K, I think maybe the 20 version. And he is tall, which is big for me to say.
He's like 6'4 in real life,
yeah, six,
right?
6'3,
six,
three, I think.
6'4?
Anyway, shorter than me. Haha. But anyway, he has made himself 7'3 in said video game, and watching him lumber down the digital court is hysterical.
So there you go. Agent John Harlan has taken care of
Captain Harlan.
Yes, he's taken care of things, and the 7'3" is he a center? I hope.
Yes, but they've got him at power forward right now, and I'm a little sad that I know that. I haven't watched him play that much, but
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So if you want, we'll get John's info, and we'll find out his rating. Ryan, just let us know.
Yeah,
and he's done the create yourself.
All right,
mode.
Send us home.
Food next week. We hope you've enjoyed this week. Episode 108 of the Predators official podcast. He is Thomas. You can follow him at Tom A. Willis. I'm on Twitter. I'm Brooks Bratton. You can follow me at Brooks Bratton on Twitter, Brooks.Bratton. On Instagram, at PredsNHL, of course. All kinds of social content there 24/7. You can always tweet us using hashtag PredsPodcast. If you want to go ahead and get your Thanksgiving hot takes in now, feel free. We'll happily discuss next week. Hey, thanks so much to Todd Richards for joining us this week on the POP and the car. Coaches in the car. Matt Benning coming up next week. Looking forward to that one. And find us wherever.
Coaches in the car. Consider it trademarked.
See ya.